to me, for he's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. One more time. Oh, he's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. Yes, he's everything to me. For he's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Give me oil. Oh, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Just give me oil in my lamp and keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning the break of day. And I will sing, oh, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning to the break of day. That's it.
Amen. Good afternoon. Let's see if one was this afternoon. Remember the request from this morning that I had, and I've misplaced, but the Lord knows what they are and who they are, and just remember all the requests. Brother Larry asked us to pray for rain. We need rain, so thank the Lord we're going to get some rain. So we thank the Lord for that. Also, I have directions to the funeral home. If anybody needs any, you'll raise your hand after we sit down. I'll bring you one up there. But if you've got it, there's no problem. Just remember that. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon, Lord. Just be with the ones who are traveling. Be with the sick that we have mentioned this morning. And this afternoon, Lord, and thank you for going to bring us the rain that you're going to give us, Lord, that we need. Just continue blessing us there. Bless Wade, give him strength. This afternoon, Lord, give us the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Most of all, Lord, you forgive us for all of our sins. We love you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Praise the Lord. Let's sing number 286 in the Spire Book, key of C. I keep falling in love with him. Let's start with the chorus.
Falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again.
When I first fell in love,
when I first fell in love with Jesus, I gave him all of my heart. And I thought I couldn't love him more than I did right at the start. But now I look back over the mountains and the valleys where we've been. And it makes me know I love him so much more than I did then. 'Cause I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. There's a hand that I hold.
to through each valley and each trial. And there's a shoulder that I lean upon as I face another mile. And there's a love that I can depend on. It's fresh and new each day. And with love my heart is overflowing. That is why I say that I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. One more time, that chorus. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. 'Cause He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Praise the Lord. I hope that that's what you're going through. Falling in love with Him. Brother Larry, you want to help us take up our offering? Thank you. You were expecting that, weren't you? You had that look. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing this song, Heavenly Father, I Appreciate You. Page 540 in the Spiral Book. Key of E flat. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. I love You, adore You, I bow down before You. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. Holy Spirit, You're a comfort. Oh, Holy Spirit, You're a comfort to me. Yes, Holy Spirit, You're a comfort to me. You lead me, You guide me, You're dwelling inside me. Holy Spirit, You're a comfort to me. Once again, Heavenly Father, oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. Yes, Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. I love You, adore You, I bow down before You. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. Touching Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, touching Jesus, it's all that really matters. And then Your life will never never be the same. For there's only one way to touch Him. You just believe when you call on His name. Once again, oh, touching Jesus, it's all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. For there is only one way to touch Him. You just believe when you call His name. Let's stand to our feet and sing that one more time unto Him. Oh, touching Jesus, it's all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. For there is only one way you can touch. You just believe when you call on His name. Amen. I want to give the Lord a clap of praise. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. How do we touch Him as the word's going forth? Amen. Just believe His word. Amen. And the right mental attitude to any of God's promises will bring them to pass. Amen. Praise God. Are you ready for the word? So let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother Wade comes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. Yes, I want to see You. To see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. In love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power in love as we sing, holy, holy.
See You. Amen. Come to hear from the Lord today, so you had to see Him, which means to understand. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be back. Thank you for your prayers. We had a good meeting. Had a good time in the Lord. And we were going to have the audio so you could hear, and Richard put some in the wheel downstairs, and this blank. So, we'll have to call Brother Tim, and if anybody wants to get a copy and listen to it, you'll have to wait a little while. But how many of you would like a copy? Richard just needs to know. Just do about 25, Richard, I guess. Yeah, that's good. But yeah, he put it on there, and it was blank. So, I did say there was something said. I'm sure there was. So, but. Well, the sister that ran the copy off for June, we were kind of in a hurry to go eat and because I had like preached till 1:30. So you're going to have to listen to this thing, you know, for a couple of hours, but that's all right. So we were in a hurry, and she may not have mashed record. It's kind of important to do that. But remember also, Brother Tim Hume's meetings are coming up October something through the something. It's up here. Terrence is reading, but it's coming up October 2nd through the 6th. If you have an opportunity to go, they'll have some really good meetings. But we had a good time in the Lord, but good to be back. Always good to be back among our family. We like to go see our extended family, but you like to get with your close family here. So remember, I got a few announcements here. We're going to the Eternal Hills cemetery. Well, not cemetery, but a funeral home in just a little while. Google tells us it's 1 hour 9 minutes, so it's not that far. And it's straight down the interstate. So then you get off, but Terrence will give you the instructions. But that's from 5 to 8 for support for Brother Gary. Lost his dad a few years ago, and now he's lost his mom. So I don't know how they feel, because I haven't lost mine, thank God. But we want him to feel that we're supporting anything, you know, anything he needs. Brother Gary's been one that you always look up, and he's sitting here. If he's not here, there's something wrong with him or something he can't help. So he's been a family for a long time. Also, remember, just to give you some announcements, Sister Francine Reed and her girls are going to be here. They're coming in next Saturday, and they're going to be with us Sunday and a few days of the week, getting ready to go to Brother Tim's meeting. So they'll be here probably next Sunday for both services. So just keep them in your prayers. And also, Dad and I will be leaving next Sunday after second service, going to Illinois. The bow season opens October the 1st, so we'll be gone from that Sunday till Thursday. We'll be back, and he'll announce who's preaching Wednesday, but keep us in your prayers. Traveling, June and I are leaving tomorrow. We're going to Illinois to get everything ready, so we're going to take a few days of rest and come back Wednesday. So keep us in your prayers as we travel. And the men's meeting, there's a men's meeting. Brother Tim, Brother Barry Coffey. I think Brother Luis is going. Brother Anderson's going. Brother Joe's going. And who else? Brother Joe. And Bob. Okay. It's a men's meeting that Brother Barry Coffey has. Brother Ed Biscoe's going to be there one of the days. So they're going to be gone on next Sunday. They won't be here with us. So keep them in your prayers and keep the service in prayer. It's a men's meeting. It's been going on for a few years. And I saw Brother Barry not too long ago, and he wanted us to try to come. So we're sending someone. So, but we'll be here next Sunday. Don't worry about that. Brother Dale and I'll be here next Sunday to do both services, so everything will be good. So if you got your Bibles, we're in a study on Daniel 70 weeks. Last weekend, or last time we were here, we were talking about the history, because I want you to see today that Daniel 70 weeks is, we know it's got different things. We know it's all to the Jews and Israel and all these different things, but there's an allegory there, or there's a story behind all of it. There's something that you and I can glean from this. It's not just something that's going to happen to them and we push it all that way. No, there's some underlying meaning, because we gotta realize this. Israel has got to come to a redemption, but you and I have to come to a redemption first. And it's not different, because redemption's not replacement. Redemption is something got lost and then to bring it back. And what's happening here in Jeremiah that we read last week, which we're going to read some in a few minutes, but if you'll turn to Daniel 9, we're going to see how God is going to bring Israel back. Now, we know one thing's for sure. He can't bring Israel back to her glory days, or bring Israel back as wife. Okay, she went whoring, and we read that in Jeremiah, and I'll read it some more to give you a little bit of a history, and then we're just going to read Scripture, and then we'll be done. So let's start with Daniel 9. So I want you to see, yes, this is to Israel, but this has all Remember, Scripture has dual meaning. It has a meaning for you and I. This is a story that's going to take place to Israel, but this is also a story of your redemption and my redemption. Amen? Because it's, you know who does the redeeming? God does the redeeming, and there has to be a people to be redeemed. So you and I are to be redeemed first, then Israel, then the world. So he's not going to forget Israel because he said he wasn't going to forget Israel. Amen? So he'll never forget Israel. He'll never forget us. Amen? Because now we are married to him, and there's no divorce papers being given. Amen? We are the bride of Jesus Christ. There will be no other. There will be no other wife. We are the only wife that he'll have. Because remember, we are the Eve that's not going to fall. Amen? So let's read Daniel 9:21. Well, actually 9:21 through 27. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these wonderful brothers and sisters that are here, Lord, gathered, prayerful, ready to hear from you, Lord. I pray that you would just have the active participation, Lord, in this service. Lord, the songs have been sung. We've done the things that we're supposed to do, Lord. Now I pray that we'll continue and that we will be able to see or understand what you're talking about in the Scripture. Thank God, Lord, you sent us a prophet that shone light on these things that were already in the Bible. Father, we know that your little prophet did not come to change the Bible. He came to give it clarity. He came so that we can see the vision more clearly, Lord, and then that vision has become a reality in our hearts and our lives in this end time, because everything wraps up now in this end time, Lord. In the latter days, well, that was a prophecy at one time, but now we are standing in that time. Lord, make the vision sure. We're going to read your word, Lord. I pray that you just bless us now and take care of us, heal the sick, be with us as we travel, Lord, to go see Brother Gary, and Lord, just give him comfort. You're the only one. You're the Prince of Peace. You're the only one that can give comfort, Father. We pray that you just bless the whole family and give them comfort too. All the ones that are close to them, Lord. We pray that you just be with them. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. Bless us in all of our travels that we're fixing to take and what things that we're doing. May it give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel 9:21 says, "Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, who hath seen in the vision." Now, who is Gabriel? Gabriel is the announcing angel. All right. He is the announcing angel. He is attached to Israel because, remember, he comes to Mary and all these different things he does and tells them what's going to happen. "Who had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation." So we're here in the end time. I hope we're touched today at the evening time. "And he informed me and talked with me and said, 'Oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding.'" Now, what a problem we have in the end time. To try to understand Daniel 70 weeks, it has not been skill and understanding, it's been mass confusion. Because of what? Interpretation of men's theology. Misinterpreted theology, the prophet of God said. But remember, he cannot change the Bible. God can't even change the Bible. All right, so we must go back, face final resting place. The prophet said is in the Word of God. All right, so now let's read this. "At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision." We're going to get to that in just a few minutes, is how Daniel came to this place that Gabriel could come and meet him. And you know what? It's the same way you and I meet God. Amen? Verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now, I want you to underline that in your Bible or put it on your refrigerator. Daniel 70 weeks is to two sets, two groups, people and city. Got that? Say amen. Amen. So when we talk about this, we're going to talk about people and the city, because the city, in just a few minutes, we're going to see the city is laid waste. So the city's got to be built back up. God will not deal with Israel unless they're in their homeland. God will not deal with Israel unless they're in their possession that God's already given. All right? But God scattered them, and we'll read that in just a minute. Because of what? Their transgression. So 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Who's Daniel's people? Jews. Israel. And thy holy city, Jerusalem. There's no other holy city. It's not Rome. I'm going to keep y'all standing so you won't fall asleep. And upon the holy city, to finish the transgression, that's one, to make an end of sins, two, to make reconciliation for iniquity, three, bring in everlasting righteousness, four, seal up the vision and prophecy, five, and to anoint the most holy. That's six things, and we'll get into the sixfold purpose a little bit later down the road. As Brother Branham, remember, he says six seals finishes redemption. Because there's not any redemption in the seventh seal. That's Christ himself. So with six seals, there's redemption. With a sixfold purpose, there's redemption for Israel. Because 70 weeks are determined. And inside those 70 weeks, these six things have to happen. They can't happen outside. Because it says 70 weeks are determined. People hold us to do what? Six things. Number 25, verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And the streets shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And we'll get into that in a little while. Maybe not this service. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Who was he cut off for? So you and I could come in to graft the wild olive tree into the tree. He had to be cut off. Is that all right? Say amen. Amen. But not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. We know that's Titus in AD 70. Because he destroyed the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he's, verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. And you may be seated in the Lord and his blessing. Even until the consummation. The prophet of God tells us, says, Daniel is in prayer and supplication. He wants to know what's going to happen in 2 years. He's desperate. What's going to happen? What's going on? And God was so gracious, he showed him all the way to the millennium. That's the consummation. Israel's consummation is not your future home, folks. You got to make that separate. Our consummation is the future home.
Right, amen.
Their consummation is that time period called the millennium that's promised to the Jews. It's not promised to you and me.
Right.
We're there on a honeymoon.
Amen.
So the consummation is when Israel is come back to a nation, and what is going on is the millennium is started, and we see that the temple is built and all those things, but we'll get to that in a minute. So let's start with the history just for a minute for those of you that maybe weren't here, or that just for a little background. In Jeremiah the prophet is the one that come to prophesy against Israel because they had done so bad. Until God said through Jeremiah, he sent Jeremiah to Israel, to the nation, and this is what he said. 3 verse 14. Turn thou backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto thee. Now, I thought I put in the one where he'd given them a writing of divorcement, but if you'll look on last time, he actually gave Israel a writing of divorcement. He put her away for doing this right here. For I am married to you, and I will take you of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Well, that didn't happen. They were all false. They were false prophets. Jeremiah 3, verse 20 says, surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. So what did he do? Remember, she went out and got polluted. And the Bible tells us that you, once the wife goes out and she has relations with another man, you're not to take her back because the land has become polluted. Well, that's natural and spiritual. Okay? Because Israel went out prostituting theirself to the other nations, which God told them don't do that. Prostituted to the other nations. Well, he couldn't take her back as wife because he gave her a writing of divorcement. And put her away for the things she had done because she greatly polluted the land. And then, but now remember, he can't break his word. His word says, I can't forget Israel. Doesn't matter what I do, I cannot forget Israel. So he's not going to forget her, but he's going to take her from one place and she's going to fall, but he's going to bring her back to a place not exactly where she was because he can't marry her anymore. But he's going to bring her up and give her a place. Because he promised the land. He promised them land and the old Abraham. Everywhere the sole of your feet walks, that is your possession. All right, when I see you and I don't have that. We're Gentiles. We're nations. But Israel has a time. Israel has a place. That's why this Daniel 70 weeks is dates and times and different things. Because you know what? If you look in the Bible, and we'll cover it later on, but in Revelation 10, verse 6, it says, the mighty angel put one foot on land and one foot on sea and put his hand up and said, time shall be no longer. Right? But now in Daniel, which we'll read later on, not today, but later on in Daniel, I believe it's in Daniel 10, the same guy shows up to them. He puts one foot on land and one foot on sea. And raises his hand and said it would be for a time, times, and a dividing of time. Time, times, and a dividing of time. 3.5 years or 1,260 days in the redemption of Israel. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right, that's Bible. So they get a time, time, times, and a dividing of time. You and I don't. We go right off. When we're born again, we go right straight into eternity. Isn't that wonderful? We go straight into eternity, born again. We're eternal creatures. But Israel has to come back and God's got to bring. Remember, the people and what? The city or the land. You can say both. But that city, even Daniel 70 weeks says, look, going forth the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the Messiah shall be 7 weeks, 3 score and 2 weeks. The street shall be built and the wall. So you got to get all that together to complete this Daniel 70 weeks. But just into the history part we're looking at here, in Jeremiah 3, verse 20, says, a voice was heard upon the high place, weeping and supplication of children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Jeremiah 22, return, ye backsliding children. Look at that. And I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Jeremiah 25, verse 4. And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets. Remember when Jesus stood on earth? In other words, he said, look, I sent you prophet after prophet after prophet, and you killed every one of them.
Right.
I sent them to you, Israel, and you killed every one of them.
Right.
And he said, in other words, now you're going to kill me. I'm the one that sent the prophets. I'm the God of the prophets, and you're fixing to kill me too.
Right.
But still, after even that, God's not going to forget them. But he did remember, they said, let his blood be on us and our children. And we'll get to that in just a little while, but we'll get back to this background. Jeremiah 25, verse 4. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, and ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now, everyone, from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land. Watch how many times he talks about land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them. Provoke me not to anger with the works of your hand, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord. Of course, he knew that. That ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land. and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment and a hissing and perpetual desolation. What about, you see, Israel comes up under King David, and there's peace under David, and then Solomon brings in the glory years, and man, everybody talks about the reign of Solomon and how wonderful it was and all this. Now, when you come to where Jeremiah's fixing to tell them, they're getting ready to, somebody's going to destroy every bit of that. I mean, down to the dirt. What about that? That's why it says we'll make them an astonishment. How can this people come from this greatness to where David went in and you know, hardly didn't even lose a battle. And then Solomon, he just never had a battle. He just got them all together and had peace everywhere. And now Jeremiah is saying what you're looking at is fixing to be destroyed. Utterly destroyed. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. So what's he doing? He's taking away. He's not going to be their groom anymore. He's putting them away. And then the voice of the bride. They're not going to be the bride anymore. He's going to take it away and give it to you and I. The sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. All right, so this is where we're talking about the 70 years they would be in captivity. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon. Now remember, like what we were talking about before, that naturally has already happened. Listen, Daniel was in captivity in the 68th year. We'll talk. Brother Branham will tell us that because he goes back into history. He was in captivity in the 68th year. He knew there was two more years and he was going to come out. Well, they did come out. And God did punish the kingdoms around them. But you got to remember that has another meaning, that at the end of the 70 weeks of Daniel that there's talking about just a few minutes ago, that after that, what's God going to do? Brother Branham said in the Battle of Armageddon said God's going to come and fight for Israel.
Right.
Amen? So he's going to come on the scene after the 70 weeks of Daniel that we're talking about, the 490 years to restore. He's going to come and fight for Israel. He's going to punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation. All right? So now let's go to Leviticus 26. You see, it's not just exactly all the reading of this. We look at ourselves and we see that we're living in part of that 70 weeks of Daniel. You're living in it now. You're living in that part that in between there, that where Brother Branham drew the chart, where the church ages were fit in, or the wild olive tree was grafted in. That's the age that we're in now. And we're looking at what? We're looking at what's going to happen to Israel. Now remember, somebody was talking the other day about somebody going over there from the message and you know, Israel this and Israel that. I said, well, I'm just going to be real honest with you. We don't need to be over there. They got their promise. And we are not included in it. Them two prophets are not Gentiles. Them two prophets are who are there, the 144,000 are going to hear those two prophets. Not you and me. We're going to be gone. I think we need to worry about getting us ready. I think we need to worry about getting me and you ready instead of worry about getting them ready. Because they already have their prophecy and it's already almost all fulfilled, all but the 1260 days. And we have zero to do with that part. Now, we do have all to get out of here so they'll have their part, but we can't change it or make it. We can't rush it up. The only way we can rush it up is stay here and get ourselves changed and get a resurrection here and get out of here and get out of the way. Because the only reason they're not being restored is because of me and you right now. But once we're out of here, they got Bible. And them two prophets are going to preach them the Bible. They're going to see Christ in them two prophets by the Bible. They're not going to go walk over there and say, Brother Branham said. They're not. They might tell them how all this fourth Elijah came, but they're not going to go over there and play tapes. I'm going to say nothing else about that. Leviticus, they're going to preach. It's going to be two people in skin.
Right. Amen.
Leviticus 26. That wasn't in my notes. Leviticus 26, verse 30. Now look, this goes back into Leviticus. This is before Jeremiah was even born. This is before Jeremiah was even born. Leviticus 26, this is the prophecy of Israel. And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. You've heard that word before. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation. And your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. Now this is way before Jeremiah come on the scene. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you. And your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. All right, this is Leviticus. This is Moses talking to him. All right. And then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, for as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy their Sabbaths. Remember I told you before, Israel never celebrated that golden jubilee. They never let the land rest. Now, they had their seven-year cycles, but they never let that land rest like God told them to let it rest. God says, all right, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to scatter you all over the world. He did. He dispersed the Jews all over the world. But he promised he'd bring them back, what, to that one spot. That's why Brother Branham was so happy being that fourth Elijah. He was so happy to see those, even in his day, all coming back to the homeland. He knew God was fixing to do something.
Right.
Amen? But he had to do it to me and you first. He had to get us back and redeem us before he could do anything with Israel. Right. All right? Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths. I read that. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest. Because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. In other words, God said, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it for you. I'm just going to run you out of your own land, let the land rest, then I'll bring you back. Right. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness in their hearts in the land of their enemies. Now this was mighty Israel. Under Joshua and Caleb and David and Solomon and all these great leaders that just wherever they went, they just took over. But not anymore because of what they did. And upon them that are left alive of you will I send a faintness in their hearts into the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them. Wow, what about these great mighty people? Now they're shaken if a leaf just... Wow. And they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall one upon another, as if it were before a sword, when none pursueth. And ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. This is what sin will do for you. And ye shall perish among the heathen. They're dying out there. And the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands. And also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. So in other words, at this point in time, Leviticus, Moses is prophesying that they're going to fall. They're going to ruin. They're going to be desolate. And Israel, when Jeremiah prophesies, but now when Daniel comes up, when Daniel's inside that captivity, he's not in the land. But he knows that temple's laid waste because of what Scripture says back in Jeremiah. Look in 2 Chronicles 36, verse 17. Says, therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young men or maiden, old men or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord. What do you think? Who's got the things now? Who's got all the tools and the instruments and the menorah and the Holy of Holies? Yeah, the Titus was a Roman general. When Titus came in, according to the prophecy, he stole all that stuff, and it's laying in the Vatican right now. Somewhere up underneath the Vatican, it's laying there. That's why he shall make a covenant with many for 1 week. Hey, I got your stuff. If you'll do what I said, I'll leave you alone. Here, I'll give you this stuff back. Because that's what happened here, because they brought it all back again when they restored the temple and built the walls, even in troublous times. We hadn't got to Ezra and Nehemiah yet, because that's what they did. They built it all and put it back together. But remember, it didn't do them any good, because Christ came on the scene about 400 years after that. And God wasn't there in the temple anymore. He was in that temple of Jesus Christ. Therefore, he brought upon the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with sword in the house of their sanctuary. Had no compassion upon young men or maiden, old men or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord. Think about it. Go back and read in Solomon how much gold they had in that temple that was just lining the walls and the chairs and the millions of dollars. Probably at that time would have been billions of dollars of gold. It's all gone now. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem. Now see, to fulfill the prophecy in Daniel 9, those walls had to be knocked down.
Right.
And break down the wall of Jerusalem. Because remember, if you break somebody's wall down, you've took away their fortification. You've took away their safety zone. Because that's what that wall was. So they just utterly just didn't just destroy the temple. They knocked the walls down.
Right.
All right? And burn all the palaces therein with fire. And destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the king of Persia. Now what we're going to do is we're going to get into that, because in Daniel chapter 9, the first verse says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Assyrus, there comes your Persians. Your Medes and Persians come in and under Darius' rule. But we'll get to that in just a second. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. Now, this is Chronicles, remember. Until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths.
Yeah.
For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 80, which is what? 3 times 2 is 3 times 20, 60. And 10 makes 70. I kind of said that wrong the other day, and Richard, or yeah, somebody said it. I did 6 times 2. It's not 6. It's not 3 times 2. It's 3 times 20. 3 times 20 is 60, and then 10 more is 70. So in 70 years. So now we also looked. We see that. You say, well, what is all this? I want you to understand one thing for sure. The history of how Israel fell is the history of how you fell. Read every bit of that. We went after idols. We didn't do what God said. We didn't go to the house of God. That's the way we began. That's what I'm telling you. This is an allegory, not of just, what, them poor old children of Israel. Well, you were too. You were the same way. But God made a promise to bring you back. And us accepting Christ, put him in our heart. So we get it a little bit before everybody else, but we'll get into that in just a minute. Genesis 29, verse 16. We were talking about, Brother Tim and I were talking about this, and he made a good point. He said, Brother Wade, when we're preaching, he said, if we take this people, he's talking about his congregation and then the message believers. He said, if we take them to a man other than Jesus Christ when we get finished preaching, he said, we have not done our job. We have not done our job if we can't show Christ in everything that we do. And everything, it doesn't matter how many quotes we read or don't read. All right? Because faith's final resting place is in the Word of God. The prophet of God, there is no quote that Brother Branham makes that changes the Bible. If not, he was not a word prophet. And that's why people attack Daniel 70 weeks. when they get ready to leave the message, the first thing they do, well, Brother Brown was wrong in Daniel 7 weeks. You can't believe what he said. You remember what Jeff Jenkins, you know, he gets up and says, talk about the cloud. He starts discrediting all these things. But if we can put it in the Bible, it's not discrediting. They just didn't understand what he said. That's what we're trying to see by what we understand. And we're going to read here in a minute. I, Daniel, understood by books. And that's what we do. We understand by 66 books that God wrote, infallible Word of God. Brother Bram said he was not infallible, and I agree. He's a human just like me and you. But that Word of God is infallible. The Holy Ghost inside of you is infallible. What makes us is we're not infallible in this. And our human brain, we run things through our filter sometimes and it doesn't come out right. But look. We were talking about this the other day. Sometimes we dwell on all the wrong and all the wrong doctrines. There is a right one. And there is a person or persons, a fivefold ministry, that has the perfect interpretation, just like Brother Branham had. Couldn't get it without him. Could not get it without him. Greatest man walk on this earth beside Jesus Christ. The closest man to walk besides Jesus Christ is William Marion Branham. But he's not my Savior. He's not my God. And he's not my pastor. That's my pastor sitting right there. And you know what? If you'll get a revelation of that, you might go somewhere. But if we can't take it back to the Bible, me and Brother Tim, if you can't take it back to the Bible, and that's what they don't do. That you see these people like the Jenkins and all them, first thing you do, they say, well, I read it in the Bible this is the way, and then Brother Branham says it this way. They just don't have a revelation. They don't have the Holy Ghost. Right. You leave this message and say it's wrong after walking for Hebrews 6 is what? Coming to the knowledge of the truth. If you turn it away, there's no sacrifice for that. You're just, unless you repent, I wish and I hope that Brother Jeff and some of them repent and turn. But there is a place you can go too far. And we just pray that nobody does. But still, there is. Listen, there's a surety that this message is right. And somebody through a fivefold ministry is going to hear it and come to perfection. That's what the Bible says. Like Brother Dale said, I see where God put it in and it would take fivefold ministry to perfect the saints. I want somebody to show me where he took it out. You can't take it out. So let's do this real quick. Genesis, we'll be done before 3:30. Genesis, we'll be done before 5 o'clock. Genesis 29, verse 16. Brother Branham comes up and you look and you read in the book and he says, 1 week equals 7 years. You go, how do you get that? Well, he didn't just pull it out of his hat. And it wasn't a revelation that wasn't already in the Word. So we go to Genesis 29:16, and Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. Now remember, Leah was the older, so we have to type her with Israel, because Israel is the older. All right, kind of like with Ruth and Naomi. Naomi being the older, when Ruth had the baby, she gave it back to Naomi, which is type of us giving the message back to Israel. So anyway, Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Now remember, you got to remember one thing. Just like Abraham, which was his daddy, is coming in here. We watched. Abraham comes, Isaac. Isaac was a promised son, had to come through Rebecca. I mean, Isaac had to come through Sarah. Okay, everybody got, I'm mixing these up. Had to come through Sarah, not through Hagar. So the promised son of Jacob had to come and bring, Rachel was the one that brought the last two children, right? Remember Benjamin and Joseph, which Joseph being the perfect type of Christ. So Jacob wanted her first. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban the con man said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Now, in Laban's mind, he was not going to give him Rachel. Because the scripture said, way back over here, that the elder's supposed to get married first. You give the elder daughter first, all right? So Jacob's working for Rachel for 7 years. And I don't know, it must have been a real dark night because he got Leah.
Right.
Sometimes I wonder about that. He worked 7 years for one girl, and then all of a sudden he wakes up the next morning and there's the sister. But Israel had to come in. He had to come in to be with Israel first before he could take Rachel. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. Same way with God. He's went through 2,000 years of being separated from me and you. But he wants to see us face to face. Amen. He wants to see his bride. He don't want to come through a filter of his blood and just hearing your voice and communing spiritually. He wants to stand in front of it. He wants to be able to be right there with us. Same way with Jacob. But now watch. Genesis 29 verse 27 says, fulfill her week, and we will give thee also this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. He had already conned him and got Israel, Leah. So now Jacob's got to work 7 more years or 7 more church ages to get Rachel, his real true bride. Because remember, there were 7 church ages in the Old Testament and 7 church ages in the New Testament. All right, but fulfill her week. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, which is what? 7 years. 1 week equals 7 years. So you can write that if you want to on the top of your Bible or there at Daniel 9. 1 week equals 7 years. All right, everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. Fulfill her week. So he fulfilled her 7 years and finally got Rachel in verse 28. All right? So now let's go and let's look at how we titled this today, Daniel's Confession. As Brother Dale's been preaching, and many times we say the same thing, get closer to God, pray and read your Bible.
Right.
Kind of hard to do. But in Daniel 9, Daniel he grew up in the captivity. He had been 68 years away from home. He had been 68 years away from where God showed him where the promised land was. So what does Daniel say? Now look, Daniel 9 verse 1 says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Israel. Everybody got that? I, Daniel, understood by books. You and I understand by 66 books and 1,100 sermons. We have been taught just like Daniel. I'm going to read you a quote where Brother Bram says, we are reading the exact same thing tonight that Daniel read 4,000 years ago, because he was reading Jeremiah, and Brother Branham's talking about reading Jeremiah. You and I are reading the same word. We'll read it here in just a minute. But this is Daniel's prayer that brings Gabriel on the scene so that he can talk to him. Okay. Same way with you and I. We must confess. Watch him confess. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication, prayer and reading your Bible, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. Now look, have you ever thought about this? Daniel, what was he confessing? He did everything God told him to do. Man told him to quit worshiping. He threw the curtains back, looked toward Israel, and prayed to God, to Jehovah. So yeah, he was praying for himself, but he was also making confession for the whole of Israel. And made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant of mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precept and from thy judgment. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets. Listen, Daniel is sitting there reading Jeremiah. And Jeremiah saying, God through Jeremiah said, I have sent you this person, this person, this person. God has sent us preachers. Preachers. And more preachers. What are we doing with it? Neither have we hearkened to the servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs unto thee, but unto us confusion of face. As at this day, and I say that that's true now. There's more confusion in this message than anywhere else. Sorry to say. Because of why? Turn down true message. Heard a preacher got up the other day and was preaching. And he looked out in the congregation. He said, we've had enough teaching. Well, it's kind of like somebody was saying today. I told that. And since I think it was Aaron. He said, well, he's cut himself off from being perfected because teaching is part of the fivefold ministry. I don't care what your problem is with teaching. You know why you don't like teaching? Did you like to go to school? Now, I was weird. I did. But did you really enjoy? You knew you had to go kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, all the way up to the 12th grade. Michael, do you enjoy going to school? Why? Because you had to study. And you had to pay attention. I'm just singling you out, man. You up here in the front. I mean, really, think about it. And I was telling the Sunday school class, look, what we talk about teaching, just stop for just a second, because we're just going to read the scripture and we'll be done. You look at teaching, there's teachers. Listen, my sister teaches kindergarten through third grade. Kindergarten. Now, she has a associate's. What's your highest degree? Say something. She has a specialist degree, which is almost to the doctorate. You'd have to call her Dr. Anna. Not Dr. Roberts, maybe, but Dr. Anna. Why? Because she came to a place. But now Dr. Roberts, and I'm going to say it because I said it downstairs, she's a kindergarten teacher. She's a teacher. But she can't drive today and go to Piedmont College and be a teacher. She'd be going, y'all sit down, shut up, quit this, quit that. You got to go to the bathroom. What do you mean? You see what I mean? There's teachers of different levels, is what I'm saying. You've got kindergartners, but you hope they come up to where they're in college. But they were all, the teachers are teachers. But you've got kindergarten teachers, you got first grade teachers, you got middle school teachers, you got high school teachers, you got college teachers. Same way in the message of the hour. You're being taught, it doesn't matter if you're listening to an evangelist. But for somebody to be so narrow-minded to say, we don't need teaching anymore, what the problem is just like I told y'all about 20 years ago, and I'll say it again, we haven't got out of Pentecost yet. I'm not talking about 1906. I'm not talking about AD 30. I'm talking about Pentecost doctrine of Pentecost. So where were we? Oh, Daniel knew by books. Let's get finished with this. Verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faith. That's what to me, teaching takes care of confusion. How many of you have been in this church that weren't in this church before, started coming to this church, and you were confused about certain things, but now you're not confused? Well, I got my hand up. I turned the camera around because there's another miracle. Okay, if you don't raise your hand, you got a problem. What are you doing here? You just sitting here like a knot on a log or what? Listen, it's the end time. It's the time of the evening oblation. We have come to a place to where it's going to be. Remember, they loved Jesus when he was prayer lining, healing the sick, making more bread. But when he said, I and my Father are one, they went away. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. What? Doctrine. He started preaching doctrine. He started teaching the people. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus is so blown away, he says, well, I got to go get back to my mama's womb. He should have known a little bit about that. But he didn't. His eyes were blind. Oh, Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face. Verse 8. To our kings and to our princes and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Daniel knew they were doing things wrong. He knew that they were doing things wrong. And he was what? Confessing. Verse 11. And yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing that they may not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us. And the oath that is written in the law of Moses, we read that over in Leviticus. And the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his word which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord, I hope you're thinking about this for yourself, therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and hath gotten thee renowned as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from where? Thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, for our sins. Because remember, the temple didn't sin. Jerusalem, the city, didn't sin. The walls didn't sin. But the people sinned. And it caused the walls. That's the same way with Adam. Adam's sin caused the fall, caused everything to happen, and everything fell below it. Okay? Everybody got that? Then what? As redemption has got to bring all that back. So in the 70 weeks of Daniel, remember, there has to be a people restored and the city. Both. You got two things you got to deal with. All right? That's where the people of the message get it wrong. It's got to be the city and the people because the Bible says so. I beseech thee that thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Because of our sins, that their sins is what knocked the wall down. And for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach for all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate. Daniel knew God wasn't in that temple because the temple was gone. Temple's already laid waste. The temple was gone. They done knocked the walls down, everything. But, O God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And while I was speaking, now watch, all that Daniel from verse 1 to 19, that was Daniel praying to God for him and his people. Saying, Lord, come back, do something. We're desolate. We're sitting here. We're your people. Brother Bram, I like what he said. He said, you know what? God likes for you to remind him of his promises. God likes for you to remind him of what he said he was going to do. It doesn't hurt his feelings. But he knew Daniel was going to do this. That's why he said, Daniel, you're so greatly loved because your supplication has done this right here. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, which is what? Jerusalem. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, who had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding, not confusion. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. So, listen, this is Daniel is pinning this, but it's Gabriel that said 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. So he's talking to Daniel, thy people, and on thy city. Gabriel is bringing this vision to Daniel. Right. All right, and Daniel accepts it and continues on. But now let's read these two quotes and then we'll be finished right here. Gabriel's instructions to Daniel. We'll get back to that when we come back next Sunday. First quote, 1961, 7:30. This is the first sermon of the three-part sermon that Brother Brown preached that everybody says is so confusing. He sure wasted a lot of time if it was confusing. God don't waste time, folks. He sends a prophet. He sends a prophet for a purpose. Amen. Now, there is our lesson for the next 3, 4, 5 meetings. He just read the scripture, whatever the Lord will reveal, 70 of weeks. Now, I'll ask Doc, if he will, tonight to put up my board there. Now, remember, this is Gabriel's instructions. The next night or that night, he preached the sixfold purpose. And then the Sunday after that, he preached the 70th week. Do y'all understand what he preached? He didn't preach the 70 weeks. He preached the 70th week on that third Sunday. Has everybody got that? Look in your book. The book says the 70th week, not the 70 weeks, the 70th week. All right. So he brings two parts, Gabriel's instructions to Daniel, the sixfold purpose, and the 70th week. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. I want that to be clear because it's going to help you. To put up my board there so that I will be able to mark it out. I don't want you to miss it now. You've got to study with me and study deep or you'll miss it. Y'all are all quiet. Nobody said amen. Amen. Study deep or you'll miss it. Right. And I want to draw it out here on the blackboard. And he did. And we have the original picture that he drew that was confirmed by George Smith that that's exactly the drawing that Rebecca drew for Brother Branham. So we got all that. And we also have a drawing that Brother Branham drew on a napkin at a restaurant the day or two after he preached it, and it's the exact same drawing. So, right. Folks, we ain't going to make a new drawing. The one he drew was right. All right, but that's what he's talking about right here. And I want to draw it out here on the blackboard, and then you bring your pencils and paper and write down these dates, these times, and all about it. You reading? Now, the 70 of weeks begins. Now, get this. After the church is taken out. Huh? What? Oh, Brother Adam, be careful. Now, the 70 of weeks begins after the church is taken out. Because remember, 70 weeks. 70 weeks. We'll talk about it a little bit later. It's all condensed into 1 week. We'll read you the quote where Brother Adam says 70 weeks equals 7 years. Because that's what he just said. Now, when he drew his chart, because I'm going to tell you something. When you see the chart, 70 weeks started back in 4 or 606 B.C., before Christ, before the church ages began, before the rapture takes place. You got to be careful to remember what he's talking about. Right. Now, the 70 of weeks begins. Where's that at? Oh, right. Mine's sectioned off. Now, the 70 of weeks begins. Now, get this. After the church is taken out. Now, everybody understand that? Say amen. The congregation applies amen. I do not believe they knew what he was talking about. They still don't. Now, after the church is taken out. Now, we'll explain that, but I want you to hold that. I want you to kind of chew it and then regurgitate it when we come back. Revelation 6:1. Let's go to 71. There you go. Revelation 6:1 to Revelation 19:21 is connected with the 70 of weeks. Therefore, we must stop and explain before we go further. We must stop and explain why these 70 of weeks, because if you don't, you'll miss the seals, you'll miss the trumpets, you'll miss the vials, plagues, three unclean spirits like frogs, three woes, casting out of the red dragon, the woman and the sun. You'll miss it all if you don't, because it takes place right in this 70th week. You believe that? Say amen. If you don't understand it, say, oh, me. Because some don't. And that's okay, but we're going to explain it. Because you know what? He's a prophet and he's right.
Glory.
I have no problem with that.
Right.
I have no problem with what he just said. I don't get all nervous. Because it's in the Bible.
Right.
We leave on 6:1, come back in 21. I mean, but look, that's right here. Real quick. That's where it takes place in that 70th week. Now, the prophet Daniel has been in Babylon for 68 years. You who wants to run reference back and save yourself some of the time that I've had to looking it up. 68 years. He went into captivity in B.C. 606. And when the vision came to him was B.C. 538. 538 from 606 leaves 68. 68 years he had been in Babylon amongst heathens and still had the victory. Amen. We can't stay an hour. In one place, he says, Daniel lasted 68 years, kept the victory, and didn't even have the Holy Ghost. Because he didn't. He didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost like you got. And he still kept the victory. You know what? He did what God said. Now let's read number 2, and then we'll quit right here. Gabriel's instructions. Paragraph 113. This is the one most important scriptures in the Bible. Wow. Brother Brown said it one time. He said Revelations 5 is the most sublime scripture in the Bible because it talks about redemption. But he said this is the one most important scriptures in the Bible. What does it do? It tells the closing of the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. This scripture, the 70 of weeks, it discloses and tells exactly from the time that Daniel started there until the end of the consummation. It's one of the greatest timepieces. How many heard me say, if you want to know what day it is, look at the calendar. If you want to know what time we're living in, watch the Jews. That's right. They're God's calendar taken from right here. Any theologian, any Bible scholar, anyone will tell you that this is the timepiece, the Jews. Now, what time we got, we're just people hot and everything, you know, fanning. It has nothing to do with the Gentiles.
Right.
These seven seals, seven plagues, seven woes, seven trumpets has not one thing to do.
Right.
The Gentile church will be in glory at that time.
Glory.
Don't have nothing to do with us, the Gentile church. It only deals with Israel. Daniel, thy people, and Jerusalem. And it discloses the facts that God deals only with the Jews when they are in their homeland. Hallelujah. You say, oh, my Lord, what are we fixing to get into? It's clear to me. I know exactly what he's talking about. I had a good teacher, which taught this in 1974, so this is old news. Some people can't get it right now, 50-something years later, so... But it has nothing to do with the Gentiles. Seven seals. Seven seals? Well, the natural part of it, no. But the spiritual part, we get all that spiritual part. We don't get no plagues.
Right.
Literal plagues. We don't get the woes. We don't get the seven trumpets. They're not to us. They sound after we leave.
Glory.
But we'll explain that a little bit next Sunday. Let's stand our feet. Musicians come. We've got a little bit of time. It's not going to take us that long to get down there. Let's sing it one song, Brother Luis. But here's a man, Daniel. The Bible says greatly beloved because he got on his knees and prayed.
Right.
He defied the nation that he was living in and the king that told him. Oh, please always turn that thing off. Man. Anybody need prayer? Sister Gail. We were down in Maysville yesterday, and they went through that Civil War reenactment. Man, I'm telling you. I wouldn't want to be around in a real war. It was just a few cannons being fired off. I'd hate for 200 or 300 cannons and 15 and 20,000 men start shooting at each other. Man, it was horrible. About like that. All right, let's sing a song if we can.
Amen. Let's just love him. 404, all I want to do is love him. KFC.
404, let's sing a song if you have a need.
All I want to do is love him. So glad I feel his love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. So every day my heart will praise him. I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love him, love his holy name.
Sing it to him.
Oh, all I want to do is love him. So glad I feel his love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. So every day my heart will praise him. I know I'll never be the same. Oh, all I want to do is love him, love his name.
You know, you think about Daniel, and you see a man that was exiled from his home. He was in Babylon, just like you and me are now. This is not our home. We're in a place that we're not supposed to be. But we're just like he was, and we know that we're coming up. Daniel knew there was only 2 years left, and something, they were going to be released. There, something was going to happen to try to bring everything back together again. And he wanted to know what was going on. And then Gabriel comes up and tells him not only what's going to happen when they get released, but what's going to happen all the way to the millennium, how that they're going to be restored, and how that they're going to turn the Messiah down, and how that inside there's going to be, you know, it's not in the Bible, but there's going to be a Gentile bride interjected in there. And then there's going to be 1 week left after the rapture for the Jews to finish the 70 weeks of Daniel. It's all in the Bible. So don't be scared. I know maybe sometimes it's not exciting, but you know, all the years I've lived, if you ever have a question about something, there's a little bit of fear that goes along with that, because you don't know exactly what's going on, or if somebody brings you a question, or if somebody, you know, asks you something, even about Daniel 70 weeks, and people get all upset about things. Well, it's in the Bible. We got to make our thoughts and ideas fit that Bible. Whatever thought we have, and whatever thought we had, whatever we thought Brother Branham had, has got to fit the Bible. He can't change the Bible. The Bible is exactly correct. There's no way you can change it. And then you know what? We can be sure of one thing. If we can see it in here, the message will be much more clear of what people think of the confusion. There's no confusion. Why in the world would an eternal God send confusion? Now, he sends confusion among people that want to be confused. But now the people of his own children, why would you want to confuse your own kids? He'd be a horrible father if he wanted to confuse his own children. He doesn't. He wants us to understand every word of God. And I believe to take a body change, we got to have this thing right. I don't know about you, but you know, you just got to have it right. And there's somebody that's going to have it right. And God's going to put somebody in the pulpit to teach you that it's right. I just believe that. I'm just dumb enough to believe something like that. Because you know what? There is no other way you're going to get it. There's no other way you're going to get it. And you know what? I accept that. It's like Brother Dale was talking this morning about Brother Bob. Brother Bob just didn't go down to the I think it's maybe the second largest law firm in Atlanta and go, "Hey, I want a job." They said, "Well, what's your qualifications?" He said, "Well, now I finished high school." He said, "Dude, you need to go back and finish a few more years." What? He had some learning, but he didn't have all the learning that he needed. Right. We've had some learning, but we've just had not had all that we needed. Amen? Because we got to be, Brother Brown called us spiritual astronauts. Now, an astronaut is not a dummy. An astronaut went through simulators, flight simulators. I was not going to ride with you unless you had your pilot's license. No way. Can you fly a plane? I wouldn't ride with you. I wouldn't ride with you if you didn't know how to fly one. But it's just like Brother Dale said. The reason Bob got where he was at is because what? He went to school.
Right.
He went to school and he had the learning to learn how to do what he does. And each one of us the same way. We've been schooled in life if we've not been schooled in anything else. But God bless you. As we dismiss, Daniel got something from God by praying and reading what Jeremiah said. He pulled them scrolls back. He might have only had Jeremiah's writing, Brother Larry. He may just had one book. But he got enough out of that book to bring Gabriel into this dimension and say, "Oh, Daniel, so greatly loved, I'm going to tell you what your heart's desire is." Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the word that you've given us, Lord. I know we're unworthy creatures, but you've made us worthy. You told us if we'd study and read our Bible. You told us if we would read the prophet's message, that we would get these things. And you said you would send the Holy Ghost to do one thing, and that was to teach us what you've already said and show us things to come. Lord, you're the teacher. Without the Holy Ghost, we don't have a teacher. But that inward man is the teacher that teaches us, Lord. And we have to depend on that Holy Ghost to be true. And it is. It's all these other ideas that everybody else has that gets it all messed up. But Lord, as Paul said one day, he said, we have the mind of Christ. Lord, may we please take that mind and deliver it to the people so that we can take a body change and get out of here. Have a resurrection. But Lord, help us have a resurrection right now. That we'll get rid of all these other things, Lord, and have a resurrection anew in you, Father. That you'll bless us, Lord, in the things that we that we are hearing from Brother Dale and all the different preachers, Lord, here. Different places, Lord, we pray that you would just sanctify us for this journey, Lord. Those who endure to the end, that word endure simply doesn't mean that we're going to have a real good time at it. It's just we're going to endure. But Lord, you told us to endure to the end and we'll be saved. Father, give us, Lord, this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses. Be with us on the highways as some of us go down and pay our respects to Brother Gary. Bless his family, Lord. Give them peace. Lord, you are truly the Prince of Peace. And we depend on you for all things that we do, Lord. We ask your blessings. Take care of us, Lord, all as we take a little trip, Lord. We pray that you just bless us. Be with us as coming back. Be with the Reed girls as they come in next Saturday, Lord. Just all these different things, Lord. You said there are angels encamped around us, Lord, to help us in our daily journey. Father, we thank you for that, Lord. We pray that you just bless each one. Take care of us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Oh, Jesus, pay the price of redemption.
On the cross of Calvary,
to do is love him.